Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Jackson Davis looking around, gets to Kuminga. 10 to shoot. Kuminga operating from the left wing, screen from Trace. Kuminga picks up the dribble, throws it away. Stolen by Powell with pause to beat. Euro step, lay it, he missed it! Oh, baby! How did he miss that? Waters to Kuminga, going right at Sue, lays it up and in! 87-83! The Warriors were down 21 in this game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go!
KD! The real KD. Golden State's KD.
Right on.
Oh my gosh. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone with you. 1 hour left here on Warriors This Week. Every single Saturday morning. And look, man, it's... you gotta try and have some fun with it. I mean, the Warriors end up losing last night to the Clippers. 102-92. Try to solve this thing, trying to get into some of the big picture stuff that the Warriors can approach. I don't know. Like we left off in the last segment talking about how someone like Kuminga may or may not fit in Miami, but it calls the question of whether or not the Warriors got to make a trade. I do believe that they are trying to make a trade, Dan, but I also think that the Schroeder deal, not that it doesn't dissuade you from doing it, but it opens your eyes to the fact that just because you make a trade doesn't mean it's going to work. And in fact, I would argue since they've got Schroeder in here, it's five games, it's a relatively small sample size, but they've looked worse with him than without him.
I would agree with that. So, but what's the grace period? I mean, you come in, you got a new system, you can clearly see that he's pressing a bit.
But you knew that he didn't fit the system.
Well, I think the one we talked about this is that the one thing that he does do is that he can get his shot. And the Warriors are so desperate for those guys. Like, they need someone who can create, someone who can ISO and get to the rim. It's Jonathan Kuminga and a little bit of Andrew Wiggins. And so they needed that guy. But I don't know. Do we give him how many more games before we're like, okay, come on, man. What's going on here?
Well, he's shooting 28% from the floor and 17% from three in 26 minutes. 8 points a game, four assists.
How do we officially...
Two turnovers.
I'm calling him Schroeder. I'm hearing Schroeder.
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 Apple Strudel.
Yeah. No, he also seems like a cool guy. I think his personality was maybe a bit overblown as a young player. I remember reading something about how he was difficult to play alongside, but I think he's more difficult to have on your team, not because of how he is as a person, but because of how he plays.
Well, he's...
The ball is just so sticky when he's on the floor.
Listen, he got a big deal to leave. I mean, I know the Lakers
were
in on him. Yeah, turned it down. But he's well-traveled. So there's always something to that. I mean, for a guy who went from... What, he went from Atlanta to... I don't know.
OKC, LA, Boston, Houston, Toronto, Brooklyn, Golden State.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, what did you think of basketball on Christmas Day?
It was great.
Yeah.
A lot of good games.
God, it's almost like you couldn't script that any better.
They still got pummeled by football.
Oh, my. Netflix destroyed everybody.
Dude, it was like a 3-1 thrashing.
28 million people.
For that crap.
Yeah.
The Baltimore-Houston game was terrible.
Brutal.
And people were still showing up to watch the halftime
Wemby,
show.
Wemby, uh-oh. Wemby might be the MVP this year.
Victor Wembanyama's next up.
Oh, man.
Well, he's already up.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, what's the word you broke out yet? Oh, Gregorian.
Yeah.
Turn you into the Gregorian chants. That's a real deal thing, man. What was the period
before? I haven't tried to work on my meditation.
Before the before the dinosaur area, was that the Triassic period? So it's the Jurassic area.
Paleozoic?
I think it was, I want to say Triassic.
Okay.
Might be wrong. But that's how I sort of feel right now. Like
watching Wemby?
No. I feel like the NBA right now is like the pre-dinosaur era, the Triassic era. I might be wrong. Before the Jurassic era. And it's like, enjoy this SGA or even Joker. Try and get your MVPs because he's coming. T-Rex is coming.
It's the Paleozoic, the Mesozoic, and the Jurassic.
Right, I'm going to look up Triassic. Can you please look up Triassic just so I know?
Early Jurassic, middle Jurassic, late Jurassic. I mean,
there's no tri.
But we're just kind of stuck in the middle there. I do think, me and Stanley were talking about this. I don't know how you feel about it, but the face of the NBA conversation, I do think you need to be more than just great as a basketball player. You have to have some, I don't know, just a draw or allure. Like, Curry's a classic example of that. I don't know if he's ever been the greatest player in the league, like the clear-cut number one, but he's been the face of basketball for a long time. I think that might be the next place the NBA goes, is embracing just a unicorn like Victor Wembanyama as the face of their league, even though he's not from the country that birthed the sport.
Triassic period, defined by the dinosaur lessons in the Triassic. T-R-I-A-S-S-I-C. Anyways.
Oh, the periods. I thought you were talking about the eras.
Oh, okay, I may have said era.
Well, that's fine.
Anyways. Well, yeah, he's not an American. I know that sounds ridiculous, and I don't hug the flag. This isn't about nationalism, but
you're Italian.
There's something to that. That I don't think people gravitate. This, I brought this up to you guys the other day. There's a reason why Caitlin Clark is more popular than any player under the age of 30 in the NBA right now. It's because she's from this country. And people have a hard time that, yeah, it's not about what they do off the court. I mean, Wemby's an interesting guy. It's just, he's from France. Luka's from Serbia. So is the Joker. There's, you know, you need that next, I think, American star that's young that people can really gravitate to. You know, I read this somewhere. I think it was on someone said this. It was a guy who was describing Wembanyama to his wife.
Okay.
Who's never seen him.
This is on TikTok.
And said between his name Wemby and his remarkable skill set, he felt as though he was talking about an imaginary friend. You know? Like, there's this guy
just didn't
named,
seem real.
Yeah, there's this guy named Wemby. He's 7'3" tall. He can shoot a three. He can put on the deck and cross over. He can dunk. He can block shots. Isn't it? Yeah. That's scary, man.
Well,
it's coming. It's coming quicker than we anticipated.
I never had the chance, obviously, to watch someone like Bill Russell, but it does feel like defensively that it's just something that you've never seen before. Like, he can guard the three-point line and the paint at the same time.
Did you see the block he had on Jalen Brunson? And everybody thought it was a goaltend.
Oh, where he just leaped up?
He put it over this. You had to see it to understand. He put it over the standard. Like, it didn't swat it into the crowd, but he was late to it, and he knocked it at an angle that I've never seen before. And it was, just because it looks so obvious that we've never seen, because he does so many things, or like, we've never seen that on a basketball floor, that it was obviously had to be a gold tent. And I was like, yeah, it's a gold tent. And then all of a sudden you heard this little murmur on the part of San Antonio, and they replayed it, and it's like, no, he got that thing clean. It's like, how is that possible? He is, He's going to change things, man.
Yeah, he also might get stuck in San Antonio where they can't build around
him. That's why I think if you're San Antonio, you need to win yesterday. Forget about a project with this guy but I don't know. It's sort of like that of Giannis.
I mean, I don't know how they win yesterday. I mean, they got to make a trade, but the Sacramento Kings just fired their head coach yesterday, Mike Brown.
That's ridiculous.
Probably because I don't think there's any coincidence between rumors coming out about De'Aaron Fox being on the trading block. San Antonio was a team that was named. But then they lose miraculously a couple nights later. Mike Brown basically calls out De'Aaron Fox because he was the one that committed the three-point foul that cost them the game.
Against Detroit of all teams.
Fox, or they've actually been playing better. But Fox doesn't take any ownership whatsoever. The next day, Mike Brown gets a text that he's fired. Like, that's not what serious organizations do.
No.
And so, unfortunately, for a team that is looking to acquire, I think De'Aaron Fox is a good player, even though he's had now 5 head coaches in 8 seasons. I don't think that's all on him. I think some of it's on ownership.
Vivek's a clown.
But he clearly doesn't want to get rid of Fox, and so it's like, I mean, to me, that would have been the best player on the market, bar none.
Oh, yeah.
But, the Sacramento Kings, like, that's why they were an organization.
Weren't they the darlings of the West?
That hadn't made the playoffs since, 2006 or something? Like, but those decisions are why your franchise gets stuck in the mud. Is because either you pick the wrong guy, you listen to a player, and the owner has no clue what he's doing. I mean, Mike Brown isn't the perfect head coach. He's not the problems there.
No.
I mean, the problem was having, and I think the Warriors and Warriors fans might have fallen a little bit into this trap. Expecting your team to be better than it actually is. Like, the Kings roster, I know they got a bunch of big names. They got Fox, they got Sabonis, now they got DeRozan. Like, going out and getting DeRozan didn't make you better. It hurt you. It hurt Keegan Murray. It hurt other defensive-minded players that were the reason the Kings were good in the first place. Same with the Warriors. I think people had too high of an expectation for how much talent was actually on this team. And Mike Brown can't do anything about that. I don't know. You know, I haven't watched all of their games, but Mike Brown ain't the problem there. And I also think for the Warriors to bring in here, I don't subscribe to the fact that Steve Kerr is the problem.
Hear what Malone had to say, Mike Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets.
About Mike Brown?
About the firing. Because it happened to him. Malone got canned by the same owner.
Yeah, he was the previous best head coach that they'd had. He was the only guy that could get Boogie Cousins to buy in.
A perfect example of a guy that they gave up on and that they don't know what the hell they're doing. Because Malone, who cut his teeth with the Warriors,
yeah,
and then gets that opportunity in Sacramento, and then obviously blossoms in Denver because I don't know how much better their ownership is. Kind of cheap out there in Denver. But Vivek, firing a guy by a text as he's driving to the airport to get on the team charter. Come on, man.
You're fired? Is that the text? Not even a call? I mean, that's...
I mentioned this. I'd like to get your thoughts.
Worse than breaking up with a girl over text.
You know why the Green Bay Packers, if I'm going to make the football analogy here.
I think I know where you're going.
Did you hear me say this?
No, but based on our conversation, I know you, Dan, I think.
Go ahead. You can beat me to the punch. What am I going to say?
They're owned by the people.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers gets an opportunity to sit there under Brett Favre. Same thing with Jordan Love. And you don't have that owner calling down to the coach saying he needs to play. Why is it that those two guys are understudies and it works? It's because you don't have that bozo in the ivory tower. And sometimes it's just, I'd like to see a lot more of that. Teams that are owned by the people.
Isn't that how European football teams are?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, you don't perform, you get canned. Now, there's a lot more, I would say, of a revolving door for the manager in a sport like soccer than the NBA. Gosh, I think it was Chelsea won Champions League not too long ago, like in the last 5 years. And the only reason I remember this is my brother's a fan of the team, so he's kind of telling me what's going on. They canned the manager that won the Champions League that was the interim because they had canned the manager during the season. And then the next year after he won Champs League, they canned him. And it's like the guy couldn't last a calendar year and he won the most prolific tournament in all of Europe. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Well, Mike Brown was the coach of the year less than 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, he got there right after they decided to keep Fox, and they paired Fox with Sabonis, which I think was their original mistake in the first place. Like, Tyrese Haliburton, to me, is far more of a winning basketball player than De'Aaron Fox is, especially if he's got some help. But
that's...
Hey, the first domino's fallen. We're officially in trade season. We're officially in head coach firing season. So now Doug Christie, who I love for punching Rick Fox, is now the interim head coach for the Kings.
Yeah, Doug Christie. Pride of Pepperdine.
You don't like him?
No.
Why not?
He's a weird guy, man.
Oh, you actually know the guy.
No, I don't know him. Just from what I've read about him.
Oh, gotcha.
He and his wife are sort of different people. Leave it at that.
There's always something with you,
Pepperdine,
man.
Pepperdine University, man.
Well, Pepperdine's awesome.
The Wave.
Zzz.
Plural. Really? No. Plural. I think it's the Wave.
Pepperdine Waves?
I don't know. You should know.
I do.
You call those games.
God, I've been wrong about a couple of things today.
No, it is. Because they're right off of Malibu, so it must be the Waves.
They are the Waves.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they play...
That might be the most picturesque university maybe in California. Literally on Malibu.
Which sucks because the students, and I get it.
They're Quakers,
you know,
right?
It's a private university, and it's up in Malibu. It's in one of the most beautiful places in the world, or especially in the country. But the students that go there are just... I mean, I can't stand them, man. They're just... It's worse than the University of Spoiled Children.
Can't do it.
No, it is. But Pepperdine, the campus is awesome. I would have gone there in a heartbeat.
Really? I think Mass is mandatory every Wednesday. You know what's dangerous about
I went to Mass on Christmas Eve.
So my niece almost went to Pepperdine. She ended up at Notre Dame, but or niece to be. That so you know what's really dangerous about Pepperdine? No, I'll leave it alone.
The Waves?
No, but there's that highway, the same highway where
Highway
it's
1.
One of the most dangerous highways, but that strip of Highway 1, if you want to get into the city, if you want to go anywhere, you're on that two-lane highway, which has, I think, one of the highest mortality rates. And so oftentimes you have students who, I think it's a dry campus, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
but will make that trek, and there's a lot of fatalities, including students. I want to say there was a couple of students that died last fall. So, and that's the same, you know, Caitlyn Jenner?
Bruce? Probably
known as Bruce,
mm-hmm.
I think was in an accident that involved a fatality on Highway 1. In that same stretch. Maybe Tiger Woods also on that same stretch?
What do you read? I mean, I'm serious. Like, where do these things come across?
Because I know you... Honestly, I just make it up.
You're not... No.
Who's going to call me out?
Caitlin, get her on the phone.
UC Santa Barbara. That's right.
UC Santa Barbara's fantastic. Isla Vista, though, is one of the most deranged quarter-mile stretches in college communities worldwide. Isla Vista, I don't know... And people that listen to the show, you know, I like to have fun. I don't know if I've ever had more degenerate fun than on IV. That place is a cesspool for college and honestly some high schoolers that just descend in.
Like, I'm a little too old, but not really. Cinco de Mayo. Have you been there for Cinco de Mayo?
No.
Oh, pasta. I'm telling you, it goes off. Cinco de Mayo in Santa Barbara is just different.
Everything in Santa Barbara is different. That's why it's so far out of the way.
Who was in Montecito? Oh, Jersey Ken was in Montecito.
Is Montecito the small town? Steve, no. Montecito's in SoCal, right?
It's in Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, it's where Oprah lives.
How do you know this?
I mean, it's common knowledge, man. Look it
Are you
up.
Just making this up?
No, I'm telling you.
All
Jersey
right.
Ken was just out there.
Yeah, Montecito in Santa Barbara County, California.
And look where Oprah lives.
No.
Hey, Steve, well, maybe you can get this request in. Can we hear what Mike Malone said about Mike Brown?
Awful. Yeah, awful. And the reason I say that, Matt, is
So we're going into a meeting this afternoon, and you know, the good thing about me is that I'm not on social media. I'm not aware of what's going on outside these walls sometimes. I've had an office with no windows for 10 years and probably taken off 6 years of my life. And I go into the meeting, and the coaches say, you hear about Mike Brown. I said, why? What happened? They said, he got fired. And at first, I was really shocked and surprised. Then I caught myself. So why am I shocked and surprised? For two reasons. One, because as an NBA head coach, ultimately, you're going to get the blame. When they win, it's going to go to Sabonis and Fox. When you lose, it's going to go to Mike Brown. That's the way it works. And two, who he works for. So I'm not surprised that Mike Brown got fired, because I got fired by the same person. And what really pissed me off about it was the fact that they lost last night, fifth game in a row, I believe. Tough loss, calling a jump shooter. They had practice this morning. He does his post-game media, and he's in his car going to the airport to fly to L.A., and they call him on the phone. No class, no balls. That's what I'll say about that.
Mike Malone. You know, I know that he was a little over his skis when he started talking about dynasties when the Denver Nuggets won their first championship, but I got to say, I really like Mike Malone.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good coach.
He really is.
He gets it.
He really does. He always has. I pulled for him in Sacramento. I like certain guys you just like. Liked him here with the Warriors, and you knew he was going to be successful at some point. By the way, someone on the text line, I hope this takes off when I was talking about Taka Tumuchi Ibuki, actually.
No, we got
it alone.
Come on, man.
I'm just reading from the text line. The 707.
You enjoyed the telecast last night.
Yes, I did.
Because there was a different voice in there than the one that there usually is. And that he's going to be doing tonight.
He is doing tonight?
Well, Tim Roy will be back on the radio tonight.
Oh,
so it'll be right. Fitz and Ibuki on the television side.
Yeah. What is going on here?
Thanks, Fitz. We're trying to figure that out. Trying to keep Dan Devone in his seat, keep him shackled, like the way that the Warriors have shackled some of their young players this season.
What do you think of the baseball series, the home and home?
Oh, well, it's like, excuse me? Is there a winter league I'm unaware of? Dominican Summer League, I think it's called. The baseball series, I like it.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, God, I can't stand it.
Because I like baseball. But I don't mind seeing teams play each other back to back. Now, what's weird is I think like Minnesota had a stretch where they played the Trailblazers three times in four games. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Either give them the back to back. I kind of like the idea of a home and home. Like if the Warriors played back to back days, let's say against the Clippers up there or up at Chase Center and then down at crypto.com or the crypt, whatever. Actually, no, I'm sorry. What is the Clippers stadium?
Oh, it's...
Intuit Dome. Yeah, I like the idea of that, but having baseball series doesn't really bother me. I don't know, like, does it not feel like basketball to you?
No, it's just you're so accustomed to seeing a different team and new talent. Seems a little boring.
I mean, I like the idea of you being able to adjust and kind of show whether or not you can make those adjustments night to night. I mean, if it went away forever, I wouldn't be heartbroken. But
I guess more along the lines, if I was a ticket holder and I was there in person, do I want to see the Warriors again? I mean, if I'm
no, but you might see Steph Curry tonight.
No, that's true.
You know, I think because of load managing, it does give fans a chance to see players play, like the Holman. The back-to-back that the Warriors had against the Pelicans at home, Zion only played the first night, so you got to see him there. Second night, it's not the same case.
Speaking of load management, maybe we could talk a little bit more about this, but do you think that along with the three-point shooting is sort of the demise of basketball, as a lot of people seem to be bannering about of late?
I think it's a lot of things. We could talk about that on the other side. I have a few theories. I also have a theory of why load management is the way that the Warriors can also empower their younger players. I think we saw a little bit of it last night, and that might have to be a viable option, not just to keep the Warriors' young players content, keep them developing, but also keep the veterans at the level that they want to be, because I do have a kind of a staggering stat that just hit me like a ton of bricks off, and it didn't even include a player that played last night. It was about Steph, and it was about Draymond. So we'll talk about that on the other side. One more segment here on Warriors This Week. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation. We're back after this.
No class, no balls.
Pajemski. He's got Harden on him. Between the legs a couple of times. Thrice. Angling, driving left. Pull up, left elbow extended. No good. Tip jam, yes! For Trayce Jackson-Davis, he becomes the first starter in double figures. Golden State a little 9-2 push here to make it 85-73.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, Kevin Dana. Bringing us home last night.
He's so unassuming. When you see him, he's such a chill guy.
Dude, he says like five words every time you see him. Yeah. And then you hear him, you're like, that guy? He's got that? He's got that in his bag? You know, he speaks softly and carries a big mic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He gets
I do like him on the call. It'll be Tim Roy back on the call tonight for the Warriors. 5:30 tip. Warriors Live, Mark Grandy, along with Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game at 4:30.
It will not be Low and Dan DeVoe, that's for sure.
No, well...
Short-lived.
You guys didn't have fun?
Yeah, it's I don't think it's...
It's easy to do with two people.
Yeah, very easy.
You just kick back and forth.
Yeah. Low filled it up.
Sorry for throwing
it
you under the bus.
It was Low's birthday yesterday.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What, did you find that out during Warriors
Dan
Live?
Dan Dibley called in.
Really?
Yeah.
What's up, Dibs? I saw him at the Warriors. He was at the Warriors game on Christmas Day. Dude, how can people do that? Like, there should be a way of letting people know that it's your birthday without trying to make it about yourself. Like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, another trip around the sun.
Yeah, some people don't want to acknowledge their birthdays.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, he was...
Well, I mean, you still haven't told me your birthday,
well,
nor your age.
I would say that it's sort of... He wanted to be sort of on it. I felt kind of bad bringing it up because obviously he's working.
Well, it sounds like Dibs brought it up.
And then he extended the work into 6:30 because of somebody that couldn't be here.
Yeah, I had an obligation. No, my family's on the way down to Los Angeles. I had to see him last night. So I appreciate you guys stepping up and stepping in.
Yeah, no, it was that's a hard show. I'm not good at that. I think you and Granny do a really good job. You guys are really fluid, and you...
I mean, like anything, it takes time. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, play-by-play. You start doing... You're using different sports broadcasting muscles.
Well, play-by-play, you're calling the action.
Yeah, but that also takes time to figure out, because you... to me, it's just... It's like sports. It's all repetitions. Like, doing this show over the course of... Well, gosh, it seems like almost a year now we've done it together. You know, there's nothing that we haven't really been able to discuss, whether it's Warriors or life or everything in between. I have an idea of what you're going to throw at me, so I don't get flummoxed if you bring up the Buddha, you know? Same thing, I think, with play-by-play. It's like when you see enough situations, you figure out in real time how to describe them. And sometimes you kind of fall into those... Like, that's why you hear broadcasters, I think, say or describe things the same way. That's why guys have catchphrases. It's because... That's a muscle that they've trained by watching that situation, describing that situation over a long period of time. Like I heard that doing baseball, the goal in the minor leagues is to do 500 baseball games. So, you know, about four seasons worth of the full 140-game slate. The reason is because if you do 500 games, you've probably seen everything that's going to happen in a baseball game.
That's the greatest advice ever. There are no shortcuts, and that's what I really do admire about you, in all seriousness. I'm not sucking up. But the fact that you're willing to put in the work at the minor league level or wherever it is that you're doing play-by-play, like that means something because there's no shortcuts. It's almost like being a player. They say you're not ready for the majors until you've had a certain amount of at-bats at the major league level, like 500 to 1,000, so you really understand off-speed pitches at this level of what's going on. And the same with a pitcher. And so there's no real shortcuts, which is why, like, the Jack Collinsworths of the world or some people are like, how do I become a play-by-play guy? And we're like, well, listen, you got to go make your mistakes. You got to develop as you go, and you've got to see everything so that when you get to the show, you're not going to be surprised. There's nothing lurking around any corners. You would have been there and done that. And so I appreciate the work ethic, which is not taking any shortcuts.
Well, thank you. And if I can shamelessly plug... later, if you'd like to listen to the St. Mary's West Coast Conference home opener, they play Pacific at 5 o'clock tonight.
The Galloping Gales. So you know what?
I'll be on the radio call for that.
By the way, speaking of Lowe, like, I really enjoy – this is what I want from here on out.
From Lowe?
Well, Lowe can join me.
Okay.
But I want – every time I'm in San Francisco, I want to do that 2 to 6 show. I don't know if that means getting rid of either – Willard or Dibbs, but I want
perhaps
to do that show. All right? It fits into my schedule, and I enjoy those hours. So
see, that's funny.
Can you tell Nahagian that that's my demand?
Yeah, I'll be sure to pass it on. I think that most people don't enjoy the afternoon drive, though, like the host, because it was, I should say, if you have a family, right? It's like, I mean, maybe it allows you to do things in the morning and at night, but I think it's kind of a tough time because you're getting in at a, you know, middle of the day weird hour, but then you're driving home. I don't know. Maybe you get in right after the traffic ends. I don't know. I've worked with some people here, and not named Willard and Dibbs, but that didn't really like the afternoon drive time.
It fits my world perfectly. And plus,
I thought you're a morning guy. I thought you'd like doing the morning shift.
You get everything out of the way by that time. No, are you kidding me? There's no. I got offered a morning show when I was in television.
And oh, that's right. You did the late night stuff, right?
Yeah, I can't. There was no way in hell I would get up at 3 in the morning for anything. Unless, like today, the house is on fire, and I'll run outside. But
talking
I am not getting
alarm?
Up at 3 in the morning to do a show. There's no way. Someone offered me a morning, not radio, but a television show, and I was doing television sportscasting. And I told my agent, I'm not doing that.
Well, that's why I have a ton of respect for what Shasky and Bonte do. To have the energy and the opinions and the takes every single morning, that's hard to do, number one. Bonte does Warriors pre and post, so he doesn't even get out of the studio until like 10 o'clock, and then he has to be up at 3. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That to me is tip of the cap to you. It's almost like, that reminds me, he has to, it's almost like you have to use the Da Vinci sleep cycle. Have I told you about this?
Oh, yeah. Where you sleep for... This was from... didn't Kramer try this on Seinfeld once?
He might have. I don't remember that episode, but that sounds like something Kramer would do. So, in order to basically circumvent your circadian rhythm, Da Vinci, allegedly, would work for 4 hours at a time and then take, I think it was a 40-minute nap. 40 or 30 minute nap, something like that. But as a result, you would only get like 4 hours of sleep throughout the day. And apparently that's just how he always worked. So he worked around the clock. That's why he did so many great things, evidently.
Those circadian rhythms are...
They're pretty important.
Well, and they can be really problematic if you're like a flight attendant or a pilot, commercial airline pilot. It's... I think... And to put it into a... sort of towards, because I think there's a connective tissue and it's sort of intertwined with your diet. Like, I don't think that, you know, you should be eating at certain hours of the day and not when the sun goes down.
Well, I did just read that apparently my intermittent fasting, and those people that do it, I think Lowe is also someone that intermittently fasts.
How many hours? 16 or 18?
It's usually supposed to be like an 8-hour feeding window or something like that. But anyways, I generally don't eat for the first 4 or 5 hours after I get up. Like, I'm not hungry right now. I'll go have something in a little bit. But apparently it increases your likelihood of, I think it's amnesia.
Mm.
Yeah. So apparently I got to start eating breakfast. But you mentioned something about, pardon me, quick fixes. And look, we got about 20 minutes here left on Warriors this week. 888-957-9570. I don't think there's any quick fix for the league problem that you were teasing before our last break, which was about how you're going to solve the fact that the game, I think the biggest issue with the NBA, if you're going to ask me, is that everything looks the same. It's like a monogamous style of play that isn't really different. And so I think as an average viewer, even as someone who's paid to watch these games, it's like, I don't have an incentive to really learn much about players because they all look alike. They're just different shapes and sizes. It, you know, as far as like the team style of play, everyone seems to kind of do the same thing.
It's really homogenous. Everybody shoots threes basically these days, and they do it in the same sort of fashion, right? And I think changes are imminent. I really do. But here's the other part of this. While the ratings are down, viewership's down, and baseball is suddenly... I think baseball did it the right way. And as much as we were sort of, I don't know, Rob Manfred, I thought was the Antichrist there for a while.
The golden at-bat?
Well, Rob Manfred, and he got it right. Listen, I don't know about you, but the best thing to me that has happened to baseball in the last 50 years is the pitch clock.
Yes.
And right behind that is eliminating the shift. And those are big, big decisions because you know what they did is they recognized that this is entertainment at the end of the day. And that's what we're selling. And basketball has to recognize that they've got to be, I don't know what the change is, but I do think that changes are on the horizon. But here's the other thing, is that do I necessarily really need to make a change because, okay, my viewership dollars are down. I just signed a $28 billion new network television deal that they just locked up, literally. I mean, the ink isn't even dry on that thing.
But if you're continuing to try and make profit, I mean, one of the reasons why those TV networks want to be involved with the NBA is so that they can sell the spots. But if the NBA is less marketable, or you're getting less viewers than you ever have, maybe not ever, but 48% is the number over the last 10 years in terms of drop of viewership for the NBA. You saw on Christmas Day, they got absolutely dwarfed by the NFL. I don't think the problems are massive to the point where, yeah, like they're losing money or the league's in jeopardy by any means. But the product right now just seems kind of stale. I think that's the way that I feel about watching basketball most nights, is that it feels stale. And I don't think, and I believe it's because there's not really, I don't know if it's a face, but just there's not enough unique players. There's not enough characters in the NBA. I don't feel like I know a player that's great that has a personality that I am drawn to. That also happens to play in a big market. I don't think that there's...
Well, that's interesting.
I don't think there's enough big-name players in big-name markets. Well, and I don't think, because of that, there's enough storylines for me to be drawn in.
So I'm curious to get your opinion on this. So I've heard this, that people think that the reason why baseball suddenly turned the corner, and baseball had a huge year last year because their ratings were down, but now they're on the uptick. And the World Series, now granted, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers. But when you think about where they're top heavy. Think about where the big name stars are in Major League Baseball. They're all in the big markets.
Yep.
It's New York and it's Los Angeles.
It's not San Francisco.
And it's not San Francisco. Meanwhile, in the NBA, I mean, Ant-Man's in Minnesota, the Joker's in Denver, Giannis is in Milwaukee. And so some people believe that when you're top heavy like that, it's much better for the sport that you're going to draw those larger audiences, sort of like the Chicago Bulls back in the day where everything was, you would go to see these teams play. And so you would go, even if you're in Cleveland or if you're in a smaller market town, you're going to go when the New York Yankees come to town. And it's a good way to sort of light a fire and have that sort of wealth spread throughout the entire league.
Yeah, I mean, look, the league is, let's just take the All-NBA team from last year. Tatum, he plays in a big market, but he's got the personality of a blank piece of paper. Doncic is a European. I also think that his playing style is not aesthetically pleasing to a lot of people, though he's really good. I do love watching Luka Doncic, but he's kind of a flat-lined player. Like, he's going to give you 28, 10, and 10, and it's going to look exactly the same, and there's nothing flashy about it. He's just really good. I think SGA is someone that, to me, has potential, but he plays in Oklahoma City, and I don't know how much he individually has a personality versus bringing the rest of his teammates in when they do all the post-game interviews together. It's like they're a band as opposed to, like, I'm looking for John Lennon, and I'm looking for Paul McCartney. I love the Beatles, but you need those individual characters within the band to be people that make me want to watch you. And, you know, that's why maybe Wembanyama has an opportunity. Like, I was This is stuff that I love. Like, I was just reading a story about how Wembanyama, when they were in New York to play the Knicks on Christmas, spent time at Washington Square Park playing chess against speed chess players. Mm. Like that kind of stuff I like. You know, him being out in public, the fact that he's 7'4", everyone knows who he is. And it's like those are the kinds of things that, and maybe it's because he plays in Minnesota. I don't know if I read much about Ant-Man. Zion Williamson, to an extent, who's a great talent. He's in New Orleans. John Morant's in Memphis. And obviously the suspensions from the last season have kind of marred, I think, his popularity. But to me, the most obvious answer that checks all the big market boxes and talent and championships and accolades, it's Jason Tatum. But I don't think he will ever be someone to carry the league.
Jason Tatum, by the way, doesn't get enough respect. Yeah, I get the personality thing. But you know how durable this guy is? He's like he's like the Cal Ripken of the NBA. He never misses a game. In this era of load management, does not apply to Jason Tatum. So hats off, man.
No, I mean, I know people don't really like him. Although that's funny because I don't understand why. Maybe it because he is boring. Maybe it's because he, you know, kind of falsely adopted the Kobe thing. Maybe it's because he's on a really good team, but people don't think he's the best player, which was kind of something that happened to Steph a little bit early in his career.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though, Ev, is that this predates you, but I think some of this is sort of like we love to be a little bit salacious and like, oh, this is the end of the popularity that is the NBA. I heard this exact same thing. I think I was telling you and Steiny this. Back in the day when it was Michael Jordan and guys dunking a basketball, I remember the emblem, the Nike emblem. It was all about, can you fly? And everybody in college was about the dunk, the 360 dunks. It was the Dominique Wilkins of the world. It's when the dunk contest used to be something. And I distinctly remember people were saying, that's the end of basketball. You guys in college don't even know how to shoot a jump shot anymore. And you can't even shoot free throws. And it was like, it's the end of the fundamentals of basketball, which is why Hoosiers, when it came out, was so popular. Everybody was enamored with the dunk shot, and this was supposed to be the end of the sport. And you look at where we're at right now, where it's now it's all about everybody shooting. I actually like the game. I think that somewhere in, we have to find that sort of balance in between shooting it too much. And there's some ideas that, you know, I think I think that you need to do away with the 3-second violation.
That might help. Where I do think that basketball is similar to baseball is, number one, it's moving towards being more of a local or regional sport. And it's, I think the national draw is not as large. But I also think that in baseball, it's all about, for offense, like the three true outcomes. Walk, home run, strikeout. I think it's kind of similar for basketball. Let's take the three true outcomes for basketball. The three-point shot, a layup, or a dunk, and the free throw. It's like, that's all people are trying to get. But they're trying to get the most efficient version of all three of those shots. You know, if you shoot 40%, that's as good as shooting 60% from two. Like, there's all these, math is so integrated into all these sports now. And I don't want to say it's bad for the game, because we've never seen players score at this level, at this rate, at this pace. The game is faster than it's ever been. It's played more to the perimeter than it's ever been. But that also means that it is taking somewhat of an adjustment for our eyes to be like, God, like, what is really different about this team? You know, what makes Orlando that much different than Miami? Or what makes the style of Dallas different than Houston? Even the Warriors, I mean, they told you this summer that they were going to try and shoot 53s a game, that they wanted to look more like OKC or Boston.
Look like everybody else has.
Exactly. It's a copycat league. And I don't know if maybe that's why people also don't like Tatum, because they feel like his team has, like, I feel like they play like the 2018 Rockets a little bit. Maybe they just have more talent on that team. But the Boston Celtics are just better than every single team they play. And they know that if they get up enough threes and they make enough, that there's no way that they're not going to win a basketball game. It's almost an equation that they've solved. And that's what I think the game feels like, as people are trying to solve equations. And it's less about actual play and style and expression and emotion, all things that might not be quantifiable, but I think for the average viewer are interesting and intriguing.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that. Although you could say that, like, the last three NBA champions were sort of did it a different way. I know they all shot threes, but not Denver, really. I think Jokic is sort of one of one.
Yeah.
Boston shot a lot of threes. Giannis and the way Milwaukee played is a little dissimilar than everybody else. I think that there's going to be a tipping point where you've got Anthony Edwards is like, he's shooting so many threes now. That guy going to the rim is one of the most exciting things in basketball. At least it was. Ja Morant.
Imagine if Michael Jordan could dunk the way that he dunked, but instead took 13 threes a game.
Which he would have. I mean, because it's the high percentage shot. But just think about this. Ja Morant was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but he's like, I'm not dunking the basketball anymore. I'm going to shoot threes. Like, that's, you know, that's how you make your money now. It's how you pad your stats. And so what's lost in the game is sort of what it is that Michael Jordan and that emblem of him flying through the air. Now it's the complete. I remember when I was, you know, balling back in the day, it's like the NBA game was really not even relatable to guys like me because I couldn't dunk. I couldn't get the rim. It's like I'm shooting. I'm driving to the hoop. I'm like a shooter, man. I'm not 6'5". And now that the game's become so relatable to the smaller basketball player that we went feast or famine on this. And so I think that you got to bring back the mid-range and that interior play. And I think one of the first starts is to get rid of three. They do that the FIBA League. They do that internationally.
The restricted area?
Or yeah, and also referees.
The three-second rule.
Yeah, the three-second rules. And I would, you know, the restricted area, you can you know, make that, you know, get that a little bit wider.
Yeah.
The circle wider. Also, referees, eat your damn whistle, man. Stop. Stop ruining what is supposed to be the best athletes in the game. Stop ruining the fluidity of this sport. Like, to me, that's an easy fix.
I'm with you. I think there's nothing more boring than just watching teams take free throws. And you know, it's the strategy and it's the strength of some teams, but you're right. When there's so many whistles, it ruins the best part of basketball, which is the flow.
Man,
basketball is the one sport that doesn't stop outside of soccer, but obviously that's more of an international sport. But, you know, it's like, I think that's why I and a lot of people, when we do, it's like hockey is fun because it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Basketball, that's what makes it fun. You know, football, you're pausing every 15 seconds. Maybe there's a replay involved in, but relatively speaking, doesn't go. Baseball's turn-based, but there's a lot of stoppages. There shouldn't be stoppages in basketball. Let the boys play. I'd also think...
In FIBA, they also let them play.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, it's a much more physical game. And I think people... I don't know if they try to take it out of the league, but I think they're starting to come back to and around a little bit. Like, I think actually, like, the Houston Rockets are an example of a team that they take advantage of swallowed whistles. Like, they're a physical, defensive-minded basketball team. They can't score for crap. Really, the biggest issue, though, I don't think it's because you brought up a good point. Like, champions have looked different in recent years. I don't know if parity is necessarily something that bothers me, but I do think that they're trying to solve the regular season. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's the playoffs. There's going to be a draw. I mean, shoot, the World Series was a massive boost this year because it was the Yankees and the Dodgers. Like, people will watch meaningful games. That's the problem, though. The regular season doesn't feel like there's enough meaningful games. And this, you know, the NBA Cup crap and all these kind of built-in gimmicks.
You got to shorten the season, first of all.
Well, they're never going to do that, no. Though. I mean, I think that's why the NFL is so dominant. It's because every game is meaningful. It's not the case in basketball. Especially like last night. It's like, it's meaningful to Warriors fans to see Kuminga go for 34, but Steph and Draymond are playing. You know, I was talking to some buddies. They're like, "Oh, we're getting 30 burgered or 20 burgered." I'm watching that. You know, the game's not meaningful. I don't know. Anyways, that's a pretty good show, Dan.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, well, the Warriors got another crack to move above 500. They could also fall below 500 if they lose tonight. It would be the 13th and 16 games when they face the Phoenix Suns at 5:30. Mark Graney's got Warriors wrap-up along with Warriors Live for you beginning at 4:30 before Tim Roy back on the radio side will have the play-by-play call at 5:30. So, for Steven Rizzotto, our great producer behind the glass, for Dan Devone, my name is Evan Giddings saying so long. You've been listening to this edition of Warriors This Week. We'll talk to you next time on 95.7 The Game.